Did you ever wonder why the angels appeared to the shepherds? Why not to farmers? Why not to merchants? Why not to an innkeeper? After all, ordinary shepherds were not thought very highly of. Because of their occupation, they were not able to attend services at the temple. They were suspected of not keeping the ceremonial purity laws. They were not permitted to testify in a court of law. So why the shepherds? They were so unreliable. In a special way, I pondered over that question. Why the shepherds? Because somehow they must be central to the Christmas story. And there must be a reason why they were chosen by the angels. And there was a reason. A very special reason. Let me share with you why God chose the angels. Let me describe the situation for you. Bethlehem is just a few miles, about 6 or 8 miles from Jerusalem. And between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, there is a field for sheep. And on that field is a tower. A tower which is called Migdal Eder. That's Hebrew, and it simply means Tower of the Flock. Now, why in the world would shepherds have a tower to climb up in to watch the sheep? Shepherds don't do that, do they? Don't they just wander along with their sheep from grazing place to grazing place? Well, the fact is, there was a reason to have a tower of the flock in this particular grazing place. You see, the sheep kept in this pasture were no ordinary sheep. They were not sheep that were moved about from grazing place to grazing place, because this was a sort of holding field for these sheep. You see, they were the sheep that were kept there to be used for sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem. So every Jew knew about Migdal Eder. As a matter of fact, the sheep they kept there were ready to be used at the temple at any time. The prophet Micah once called Jerusalem the temple, the tower of the flock. And spiritually speaking, that made sense. Jerusalem with its temple was the center of Jewish religious life. And as such, it was indeed the tower of the flock from which God overlooked His sheep, the children of Israel. Now, we don't know how long Migdal Eder had been there. Probably a long time. In all likelihood, it had been built when David moved the Jewish temple to Jerusalem. And they began to make sacrifices there. And of course, they needed sheep for the sacrifice. And so, right away, they would have established a holding place for the sacrificial lambs. However, the first mention of Migdal Eder goes back much further than that. It goes back into the book of Genesis, back into chapter 35, verse 21. And there we're told that when Jacob was in that area, his wife was having Benjamin, and she died in childbirth. And so he buried his wife there in Bethlehem. And her tomb is still marked there today. And then the Bible says that he went on past a little ways to Migdal Eder to make camp. So anybody going from Jerusalem, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, passed by Migdal Eder. It reminded them of the temple in Jerusalem, because here the lambs for sacrifice were kept. Now listen carefully. Because of this, a tradition had developed among the Jews that when Messiah came, it would be revealed from Migdal Eder, from the Tower of the Flock. And do you know, that's exactly what happened. Can you begin to understand why the shepherds were chosen? These shepherds. They were no ordinary shepherds. They were the shepherds who kept the sacrificial lambs for the temple altar. And doesn't it seem appropriate that these special shepherds, who would be the ones to be told about the real, the true, the final sacrificial lamb that had just been born? Indeed, the angel in effect was saying, look, you shepherds of the sacrificial lambs, the real lamb, the final lamb of sacrifice has just been born. And you shepherds who watch over the temple lambs, you go see the real lamb of sacrifice. And that's why the angel came to those shepherds. Now let me tell you something about what the angels, what the shepherds saw that night. Now, in order to help us understand it, let me give you some background again. When God is present in a special way, He's said to dwell among His people. And the Hebrew word for dwell is Shekinah. It's called the Shekinah, meaning the presence of the dwelling of God with man. And when God is present, then a glory begins to shine about. For example, when God was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, we are told that God's presence, His Shekinah, was there in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So God's presence was there, and His glory, His Shekinah glory, was manifested in the cloud and in the pillar of fire. But let me add one other piece of information. When the Shekinah glory of God appears, it's usually announced by an angel. Let me give you an illustration. When Moses saw the burning bush in the desert that day, do you remember what the Bible says? It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. So an angel appears in the bush. And then when Moses turns aside to see, the Bible says God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. So the Shekinah glory of God is announced by an angel. And then comes the shining glory of God's very presence. Now with that background, go back to what the shepherds saw that night. The Bible says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And then what does it say next? Do you remember? It says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So the angel makes the announcement, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah of God. And then there's the Shekinah glory of the very presence of God, because God in the person of Jesus has come right down to earth, and now the Shekinah of God bursts forth. Do you remember how the Gospel of John tells the Christmas story? Ordinarily, we don't read the first chapter of John as a part of the Christmas story, yet it really is. It tells the Christmas story, and this is the way he tells it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There it is. He dwelt. He tabernacled. He shekinahed among us. And then it says, and we beheld His glory. He dwelt and glory, the Shekinah glory of God, revealed, made flesh in Jesus. Aren't all of those little details just incredible? God did everything just in perfect order. Every detail, every event had meaning as God fulfilled His promises across the centuries to send a Messiah, a Savior. Would you like to know some other things about what happened when God told the shepherds? Let me set the stage for us again. In Jerusalem, at the temple, when the priest killed the sacrificial lamb, and then when he laid it on the altar, at that moment the temple musicians burst forth into song. And this music had three parts, each part announced by a blast on the silver trumpets of the priests. Now, according to tradition, the first blast announced the kingdom of God, and the second blast announced the providence of God, and the third blast announced the final judgment of God. So the angel comes and announces the birth of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then the Shekinah glory of God shines about the shepherds. And with the announcement of the birth of Jesus, that the Lamb of sacrifice, God's Son, has been laid upon the altar for the sins of the world, at that moment, the music of the heavenly choir bursts forth. For suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. And what did the angels sing? Listen closely. They sang, "Glory to God in the highest, the kingdom of God. And on earth, peace among men, God's providential care for us. Men with whom He is pleased, God's final judgment, the judgment that He loves us." Yes, the music of the temple, when the sacrifice is laid upon the altar, the music with its three trumpet blasts symbolizing the kingdom of God, the providence of God, and God's final judgment, the judgment that He loves us, and that His Son has come to be our sacrifice. Isn't that all just incredible? Would you like to hear one other little bit of detail that God took care of at Christmas? Do you remember where the angels told the shepherds they would find the Christ child? They said He would be found lying in a manger. Why there? Why didn't they just say you'll find Him in room 58 at the Bethlehem Ramah? Or why not say He'd be found in the barn? I heard a funny story the other day told by a Jewish comedian about a Jewish lady named Mrs. Rosenberg. And this event happened many years ago when this sort of thing could happen. One night, Mrs. Rosenberg was stranded at a fashionable resort on Cape Cod, and that hotel did not admit Jewish people. And when the clerk refused to rent her a room, she bristled and said to him, "I'll have you know I have converted to your religion." And the desk clerk said, "Oh yeah, let me give you a little test. How was Jesus born?" And Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "He was born to a virgin named Mary in a little town called Bethlehem." "Very good," replied the hotel clerk, "tell me more." And Mrs. Rosenberg replied, "He was born in a manger." "That's right," said the hotel clerk. "And why was He born in a manger?" "Because," said Mrs. Rosenberg, who bristled and spoke very loudly, "a jerk like you in a hotel wouldn't give a nice Jewish lady a room for the night." Well, I never thought of it just that way. Actually, the clerk asked a lot better question than he realized. Why was He born in a manger? Consider this. What is a manger? It's simply a trough where animals feed. When sheep were kept penned up or limited to a holding area, as the temple sacrificial lambs were, and when grass was inadequate in wintertime, as it was at that point, the shepherds used the manger to put out food to feed the sheep. Now think about this amazing thing. God, the good shepherd, as Pat sang for us about, has placed in the manger the spiritual food to feed His sheep. You remember that Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion? He gave them bread and he passed it around, and he took a cup and he passed that around, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come." Yes, the babe lying in a feeding trough for the lambs, for the sheep, was no accident. It was deeply symbolic. It not only told the shepherds where he was, but more importantly, who he was and what he was. Let me quickly point out several things about the shepherds. First, they believed the good news that the angels told them. Do you believe the good news of Christmas? Do you believe God sent his own Son down to earth to take your place, die your death? Do you believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself? But the second thing we can say about the shepherds is this. They acted what they had been told and found it was so. They acted on what they had been told and found it was so. Have we done that? You've been told about Jesus. Have you acted on it? You see, it isn't enough merely to believe. We must act, respond to that belief. Those who act as the shepherds did have made a wonderful discovery. They have discovered it is just as God said. I know so many people this morning who have a happy radiance about them, who have a new dimension to their lives. They're the ones who have acted on what God has said, and like the shepherds, found it is so. Listen, I've seen lives changed. I've seen broken lives made whole. I've seen marriages put together. I've seen relationships restored. But it happens only when people not only believe, but like the shepherds, act on that belief. Have you done that? The third thing the shepherds did was to share the good news. The Bible says they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child. Are we doing that? Are we sharing with our friends, our neighbors, our associates, our loved ones, the good news the shepherds shared with the world? Don't you know people whose lives are not working well, whose marriage may be in trouble, some person who is desperate, who has little meaning in life? Would it help if they knew God's final judgment, that he loves us and he cares and he sent Jesus? The fourth thing the shepherds did is reported this way, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Do you forget to do that? I know I do too sometimes. I forget to give God his glory and his praise. And when I do that, my own life is diminished. When Jesus came, the very angels of heaven could not restrain themselves, but they gave glory to God in the highest. Do you think our lives might be a little better if we gave God the glory and the honor he deserves? Back in 1980, when he was just 7 years old, a little boy named Richard Ballinger's mother was busy wrapping Christmas packages. And because she was so busy, she asked Richard if he would shine her shoes for her. And with the proud smile that only a seven-year-old can muster when he's got boot black all over his hands, he presented her shoes for her inspection when he had finished. As much polish on him as the shoes. But his mother was so pleased, she gave him a quarter for his efforts. On Christmas morning, as Richard's mother put on her shiny shoes to go to church services, she felt a lump in the toe of one shoe. She took it off. There she found the quarter that she had given Richard, wrapped in a piece of paper. And on it he had printed, in the awkward printing of a child, Mommy, I've done it for love. There came a message to the shepherds who kept the lambs for sacrifice, telling them of the very Lamb of God, His Son, to be laid on the altar for the sin of the world. The angels sang, and the Shekinah glory of God shone round about. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He's pleased. Yes, God's final judgment, for He sent Jesus. And as Richard said, He done it for love. Let us pray. Let us pray.